You can open up to Ephesians, and we're going to look to chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And may I say, Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
God's still on the throne.
Yes, sir. Come on.
And there's power in the blood. So let's use it. Let's use it. I don't care what's going on out there today. Don't be concerned with it. Don't be concerned with it. God is in control. He's still on the throne. Ain't nobody going to dethrone him either. One guy tried and he's paying the price now, isn't he? Yeah. Isn't that how the song goes, brother? Amen. All right, you're there in Ephesians chapter 2. We'll look at verses 6, 1 through 6. And you, he made alive when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins, in which at one time you walked habitually. You were following the course and fashion of this world. We're under the sway of the tendency of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air, Satan. You were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving, who go against the purposes of God. Among these, we, as well as you, once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imagings. We were then, by nature, children of God's wrath and heirs of His indignation, like the rest of mankind. Verse 4. But God. But God. But is a conjunction. It is used to introduce a phrase or clause contrasting or strikingly different with what has already been mentioned. But God, so rich is He in His mercy. So rich in His mercies that they are renewed every morning. Renewed every morning. In order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which He loves us. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
For God so loved, did He not? Verse 5. Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, He made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ Himself, the same new life with which He quickened Him. For it is by grace, His favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. Verse 6. And He raised us up together with Him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with Him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Paul is telling us that God has given us a seat, a real seat, a place of authority in Christ. Through our relationship with Jesus, we are now Say now. In a position of authority and power from which we are to rule. Again, say now. Now is when you're supposed to be ruling. We are seated in this position through God's grace. Through God's grace. Now, Paul, he knew something about grace. We're going to be coming back to Ephesians, but you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look to verse 9 and 10. For I am the least of the apostles, Paul said, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle. I don't know. Because I persecuted the church of God. He persecuted the church. He went and he dragged Christians out of their homes. Had them thrown in jail and prison. Had them beaten. Yeah, Paul. There was no love there. He was deceived. He thought he was doing God's work. He was so far off. Verse 10. But by the grace of God, Paul says, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. I wasn't going to do this, but I got to tell you, when I read that verse, and I've read it several times, I said, I've heard that before. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I thought that was an original done by Popeye. It wasn't. Paul said it. What did Popeye say? I am what I am, and that's what I am. Right? And I kept going back, okay. But I said, you know, it made me laugh. And I said, and I don't want to take away from the importance of that. But you think about that. We are what we are. Because, see, he's our father. Okay? But besides that, you know what it is? He's a potter. And we're the clay. And what's he do? He forms all of us to be what we are by grace. By his hands, we are our wonderful work. We are a wonderful work. And I continue there with verse 10. He says, no, I worked harder than all of them, meaning the apostles, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. And that's also for us. But where would we be without God's grace? I can hear Paul. Your grace, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. Might I say, it was only God who could change a Saul into a Paul. Man couldn't do it. God is the only one who can take a jack and turn him into a pastor jack. And I ain't off of that potter's wheel yet. Okay? And the day when he finishes that is when I'll be in heaven. And he's doing that for each and every one of you. He's working on you in your life to make sure you're the perfect vessel. No. It's continual. But the point is, you're in his hands. You're in his hands. Amen. If you choose to stay there and be there. It's a choice. Paul says, I worked harder than all of the apostles. And he wasn't being proud and being arrogant. Remember, he had held a prominent position as a Pharisee. See, his conversion made him the object of even greater persecution than the other apostles. Meaning he had to work harder to preach the same message. Problem is, people look at the vessel. Don't look at the vessel. Listen to what's coming out. Because when you go to a faucet, you don't go to admire the faucet. You go there to get a drink of water. You don't care what it looks like, as long as it can quench your thirst. And that's what the Word does. So don't look at the vessel. Paul was deeply humble. He knew that he had worked harder and accomplished much for the Lord. And it was only because God had poured kindness and grace upon him. Hey, Nick, you know when Paul got saved? He got saved to the bone, brother. He got saved to the bone. That's our Paul. Paul knew who he was in Christ. And that he was seated with Christ in a position of authority. Paul knew that. You can turn to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. And we're going to look at verses 11 through 15. You know, and because of this, him knowing where he was at, God was able to use him. He was able to use him. Believe me, there was a lot of people that saw what he was doing. And they were watching. Okay, verse 19. I got to turn over page. Verse 11 says, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from his body to the sick." His apparel, what touched Paul? Well, that material, they took it to the sick, and diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. The anointing was so saturated. Have you ever ate fried garlic? And then you sweat later on? Guess what? You go, that's garlic coming out. He was so saturated with the anointing, it went through to his clothes. That anointing, when it was taken out to the sick, they were healed of their diseases, and evil spirits left them. God is so awesome. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." That means command. We command you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Did you hear that? Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And that evil spirit, he jumped all over those boys, did he not? One against seven. And it says that they went out of there running, naked, beaten, bruised, bleeding. But in every one you look up, it started out, they went out naked. Yeah. And then every other description is completely so many different ones. But they were naked. And I looked, I was like, why is that? And it's consistent. Man, he stripped them. He put them to so much shame. They were the first streakers around. Yeah. Amen? Paul's operating power came from God's Holy Spirit in him. The seven so-called exorcists found out it was not enough to know the name of Jesus. They needed to know Jesus personally. Relationship, relationship, relationship. And once you have a relationship, you know what you need to do? You need to fellowship with him. It goes beyond a relationship. You got to start fellowshipping with him. How do I do that? Through prayer, through coming to church, through worship and praise. Fellowship. We say fellowship here, man. Everybody says, oh, yeah, win. Win. We all like to fellowship. We like to be around one another. We like to be around one another. God likes to be around us. He should be a part of everything that we fellowship in. Everything. You go visit your parents, he wants to be there with you. You go to a picnic, graduation party, he wants to be there with you too. Don't ever be ashamed. Don't ever be ashamed. Know who you are in Christ. And that evil spirit said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? If you know who you are in Christ, you know what them evil spirits are going to say? Oh my. Guess who's awake now? The evil spirit don't get, when you go to sleep, they have, oh, okay. But see, when you're asleep, God's on duty. Don't fret anything. Have sweet sleep. Trust him. He's watching over you. He never takes his eye off you. He never sleeps. How can he do that? He's everywhere. All the time. He's omni. Omni. Think about it. Omnipresent. He's with you all the time. Okay, let's go back to Ephesians now. But now I want you to go back up and see what Paul has to say in Ephesians 1, chapter 18. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. Paul says, I pray that God will open your minds to see his truth. Do you know I pray that for each and every one of you whenever I get ready to do these messages? I pray that he opens up your mind to be able to receive what is being said. And then when you listen to it and you hear it, you have an understanding, it'll be clear to you, and you'll be able to act upon it because there'll be no confusion. You'll know exactly what he's trying to say to you. Then you will know the hope that he has chosen us to have. That hope is not just for a positive future, but for a complete assurance of victory. This complete certainty comes through the Holy Spirit who is in us. The exact same Spirit that was in Paul. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The exact same Spirit. You will know that the blessings God has promised his holy people, that's us, are rich and glorious. They're inexhaustible. And they're out of this world.
Come on, Pastor.
Way beyond your imagination. Verse 19. And you will know that God's power is very great for us who believe. Did you hear that? God's power is very great for us. His power in us is why believers are mountain movers, water walking, mighty conquerors. It is the same as the mighty power he used to raise Jesus from death and seated him at his right side in the heavenly places. Where did he seat him? At his right side. And there's power. There's power there. There is nothing to compare to his great power that is in us. See, the world fears the power of the atom. Yet we belong to the God of the universe who created atomic power, but also raised Jesus from the dead. God's incomparably, great power is available to us.
Amen.
To us. There's nothing too difficult for God.
Amen.
Is that not what the Word says? There's nothing. That's found in Jeremiah if you want to go finding it. And he operates from within you. Nothing too difficult for God. And he's operating from within you. Question, should there be anything too difficult for you to handle?
No.
For anything too difficult for you to face?
No.
Nothing should be too difficult for you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We hear that. Get it from here. Get it into here. When it goes into the heart, man, then all of a sudden, boom, your eyes go big like saucers. You go, wow, that is something, isn't it? And the reality starts to really set in to who you are. Your inner man, your spirit man. Because we are what? Supernatural people.
Yeah.
Because we're part of his supernatural church.
Mm-hmm.
And being there means we're going to be able to do supernatural things. Because we're powered by the Holy Spirit. And nothing is too difficult. Nothing. Verse 21. He put Christ over all rulers, authorities, powers, and kings. He gave him authority over everything that has power in this world or in the next. He gave him authority over everything that has power in this world. Jesus is above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Jesus is above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Cancer is a name. Multiple sclerosis is a name. Parkinson's is a disease. Is another name, right? Cystic fibrosis is a name. Jesus is above every name that is named. Paul said, not only in this present time, but also in future and beyond. That was past. This is now. From then to now, this is future. This is future. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
That was easy.
The seat or place of authority that Christ operates from is at the right side of God who placed him there. Now, with that in mind, get down to chapter 2, verse 6. And here it is. And God raised us up together with Jesus and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with Him in the heavenly Spirit, in the throne room. By virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Did you hear what that said? Yeah. Man, I forgot about that. Hallelujah. Yeah, Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
You're sitting together with Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now is where you are with Him. You're in this world, but you're not part of this world. You're a part of another kingdom. And you have authority. We have been seated together with Jesus at the right hand of God. Let that sink in for a moment. In the place of authority with Jesus, above all principality, power, and might, dominion, and every name that is named. Sickness has to flee. You have been given a seat with Jesus. Now, there are those who hold seats on a school board, on a corporation, on the church board. See, our federal legislators in the United States, they have a seat. They have a seat in the House, a seat in the Senate. Now, I said that so you looked at all those seats. All those seats are seats of authority from which they exercise their authority. They only have authority like the school board does the school board. The seats on a corporation are a corporation. Church board, church. House of Representatives, they have a seat there, but it's only for the government, the Senate, right? Praise God, they start to get their act together and start working together. We can really accomplish something. Especially if they get on their knees and pray. They say they pray, but what are they praying? We don't know. Some of them we do know. But see, that's where they exercise their authority from. Theirs. Now, it's no different for us as believers. But see, a believer holds a seat of even greater authority, because Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, the Father, which is the seat of all authority. All authority. And we are seated with Him. We're seated with Him.
Yeah.
All authority. That's what we're supposed to exercise from, that authority. Before Jesus left the earth, what did He tell His disciples? In Matthew 28, it said, all authority, all power to rule has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. In other words, all that authority and power to rule was invested in Jesus. Then you know what He did? He turned around and He handed it over to us. That was God's plan all along. Wasn't it? It's what Adam started out with. But see, what's more, when Adam walked this earth, his God-given authority only covered this earthly realm. And he only exercised very little of that because it wasn't very long before he relinquished His authority to the devil by disobeying God. Thus meaning he was rebelling against God. That's what caused all this. Disobedient to God. Sometimes you wonder where your problems are coming in, being disobedient to God. We all find ourselves walking there. But we got to be quick to repent. Not stay there. Nobody asked for forgiveness when they made the mistake there. They just played a game. Oh, it's his fault. No, it's his fault. It's his fault. No, yes. blamed them on one another. But they never lied. They did eat the fruit. Remember, they had, lying just comes along with the disobedience because you just want to keep going on and on and on. Own up to it. Get it over with. Move on. His forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey to the lips. Like a symphony to your ear. It's like holy water. Rinsing down over you, cleansing you of that sin that you just repented for. And it's gone. I've heard people say when I baptized them, they said, man, it's not going to come back up. I said, no, it went down the drain.
That's right.
Well, can it come back? No, there's a trap, I have to tell them. There's a trap. It's gone. That's the same way it is with God. It's gone. Cleanse it, he washed it away. We just got to be aware not to get enticed to do it again. Because we're in this world, but we're not part of it. We are unique. We are made in his likeness. But when Jesus came on the scene, he paid the price. Paid the price with his blood to take back that authority. And he not only recovered Adam's authority over the earth realm, he also went into the pit of hell and he seized authority over that realm as well. Because in Revelations chapter 1, verse 18, he says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Keys. He has the keys. Keys is the Greek word kales. It's spelled K-L-E-I-S, pronounced kales. And it denotes power and authority. Let me say that again now. Jesus repeating, telling John, I am the living one. I was dead, but look, I am alive forever. I have power and authority over death and hell. And where are we sitting? With him. Before he was through taking back what the devil sold, Jesus regained authority over the heavens, the earth, and hell itself. When he does it, he does a complete thorough job. Then he empowered the believers, hey, that's us, with the same authority with which we are to exercise under his guidance. And how do we get the guidance we need? Word up! Word up. There it is. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Right? It's spelled out. It's pretty simple. It's easy to read. Of course, if you are watching it on a show and it's in English and you accidentally change it to Spanish, it might be a little harder to interpret. You got to watch you don't change that. That's a private, little private thing there. Okay. You know? All right. But how do we exercise this awesome authority to rule heaven and earth? Like everything else in the kingdom of God. We do it by faith. We do it by faith. We speak the word to our situation or circumstance in faith, believing that it will accomplish what it was sent out to do. And how is it sent out? Right here.
Yes, sir.
Through your mouth. So watch what you send out. Be aware of what comes out. Sometimes the mouth operates and the mind has not caught up with what came out of the mouth. Someone who's been in a union and had to represent people has had to learn that to make sure he goes in there and he can't be excited. Am I being truthful, my brother? Uh-huh. You can't go in unprepared. You got to be aware. The same as when you go in to represent someone, you got to know the contract. Because sometimes management forgets exactly how they agreed to what part of that contract. Right? And you just got to make sure that as long as you're following the line there, they don't have no ground. But don't get excited either. But there is that time when you can voice and get loud. And I would hate to see that man if he ever got loud. I've always seen him mild-mannered. Uh-huh. Right, Nancy? Yeah. Calm, Eddie. Calm, Eddie. But in John 15, verse 7, it says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Yeah. Pretty simple, isn't it? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. Yeah. Whatever is in your heart in abundance comes out of your mouth. So keep your heart filled with God's word. And we do that when we word up. When a problem or a situation comes, the first words that come out of your mouth will make the big difference in the outcome. Obviously, this is a time when faith-filled words need to pour out of your mouth. Not words of faith sounding, but faith words. See, because sometimes we speak words that are full of fear when we think they're full of faith. Those words get squeezed out of you when the panic sets in. When the pandemic hits, what did everybody speak? They spoke what you see happening in this nation. They couldn't agree with the positive words that were being said. No, they had to go against it. We're going to see this. We're going to see millions. You know, they were and they're still going on with it. The words. Words are very powerful. Those ones that they're speaking are fear. See, when we are hoping that what we speak will make the difference. Hear what I said? We are hoping what we speak will make the difference. Instead of believing what we say will make the difference. See the difference? Believing. Trusting in, relying upon the Lord. Trusting in and relying upon Him with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your soul. Trust. Have confidence in the Lord. And when it comes to prayer, we do it from a place of authority. Ephesians 2:6 says, we are in a position, a high position, with authority. We are in a high position with authority. When you're praying about a personal situation or for our nation, we pray from a seat or a position of authority. See, the challenge will be, will we pray from the high position? A lot of you just went, You could easily find yourself praying from a place of being under pressure, pressure of the situation, a position beneath your God-given authority. Or by an act of your faith, yes, by faith, you can pray from a place above the pressure, where you belong. Then the circumstances must change to fall in line with God's will, because someone in a position of authority, that's you, says so. The point is, the position you take in prayer determines the outcome of your prayers. Anytime you pray faith-sounding words that are actually motivated by fear, you are praying from a position beneath your true seat of authority, and that you will get nothing. What's the word say? We are never beneath. We're only above. Only above. We're blessed in the city and blessed in the field. We're blessed in our going in and our coming out. We're blessed. But the main thing is, only above is where we are. We are above only. Hallelujah. Jesus is seated above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named. And we are seated with Him. When you pray from your position with Him, it is a above position. Above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named. Pray faith-filled words over the situation, and you will see things change. And then when you're done praying, thank Him, going about doing your business, don't discuss it anymore. Don't discuss it anymore. We find ourselves discussing it and taking down and tearing down that prayer that we just prayed, because we're above all that. We have a higher position. We have a higher position. We're seated with Jesus in the throne room, and we are to rule now. Now, in this present day, right now. We have the power and the authority within us. We have awesome power. It's called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Jesus was the Word. And when He spoke and the Word went out, who did the work and imparted it to happen? The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was one hovering. Remember, you are seated with Him. Don't let the devil tread on you. Don't let the devil tread on you. Because no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen? Well, thank you. Just remember.